to Canucks Talk. Josh Elliott Wolf, Tom Strantz here with you. Coming to you live from the Kintech Studio. Kintech Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. You can text in 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text line. Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and reno warriors for over 50 years. Visit them at one of their three locations to serve you or online at DunbarLumber.com. And Canucks Talk brought to you by Rack Steel. You need forklifts that perform under pressure and pallet racking that maximizes your space. Visit them online at RackSteel.com. It is Canucks Talk. No Jamie Dodd. He was on the morning show. So I'm Josh Elliott. We'll filling in for Jamie today. We've got Lena producing. We've got intern Kieran.
This is weird.
No Canucks brunch today. I missed hosting with Lena. I guess now we're together for 2 hours.
You got a bit of an upgrade, I think.
I don't know about an upgrade. I would say that is an opinion held by solely one person, you.
Are we? I think we might be having Thomas Drance mic issues.
Oh,
but
really?
The point got across, I believe. I don't know if they were playing around with the board. Are we good now?
We should
no,
be good.
You're back.
Let's
I
check.
Hear you.
He's
okay,
back.
Perfect.
Yep. That anyway. Was me sabotaging you, Drance.
There you go.
Yeah.
How dare you take my spot?
You're not an upgrade.
The
you
Canucks,
can't even talk.
The Canucks brunch takeover. You guys are really trying to get upgraded into talk.
Yeah.
From
kinda,
brunch to talk.
I kind of prefer brunch. If
me too. Hey, everyone knows how I feel about brunch. Interesting sort of news day, mm-hmm. I would say, right? We've got an American Pope.
Yep.
Which
new,
is not
new Pope
the,
just dropped.
New Pope just dropped. White smoke from the Tower of the Vatican. Seems like a good guy.
Sure. I don't know. From Chicago.
I don't know if he seems like a good guy. He's a pope.
I do not know much about popes. I'm not going to pretend to know a lot about popes.
Have you seen Conclave?
I've seen Conclave. Did not go as Conclave went. Conclave was a little bit different. Took a little longer.
Yeah, Conclave took a much longer than 2 days. Fastest that a pope has been selected since 1967.
Wow.
Yep. Anyway, we could do papal history all day, but more
Canucks
than anything.
Take notes.
Yeah, I will say, yeah, it's going to take the Canucks several weeks longer to find their next head coach than it took the Cardinals to name their new pope. I liked Rob Williams's take on it. There have now been three popes in the time that the Canucks have been looking to build a new practice facility.
Maybe this is the one.
Tough. That's tough to wrap our heads around. Some interesting developments with Valander. Coaching news around the league. We said yesterday on Canucks Talk that the Jamie was asking me what I thought the first domino to fall would be on the coaching market, and I told him Anaheim. So that was a take that aged decently
Gosh,
well over
darn
24
it,
hours.
You were right, Thomas.
Nailed
Drance.
It. So anyway, should we get to the whiteboard and
yes,
get into it all?
Let's get to it. It's time for the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is the whiteboard, your daily deep dive into what's up with the Vancouver Canucks. And before we get into that, you mentioned 1967. Mike, the urologist from Brockville, texting in. What else happened in 1967?
Uh-oh. Nothing.
Nothing.
When no one remembers it and no one ever brings it up.
Nothing of importance. Why don't we start with, do you want to start with the coaching stuff?
Sure. Let's start with the coaching
okay,
stuff.
So the
Joel
news,
Quenneville.
Yeah. News today. Joel Quenneville officially hired by the Anaheim Ducks, the first, well, I guess the second coaching domino to fall after Mike Sullivan. But Joel Quenneville hired by the Anaheim Ducks. Rick Tocchet, reportedly a finalist for the job in Anaheim. It goes to Quenneville. He returns to the NHL. A couple statements put out because obviously there is a lot that goes into hiring Joel Quenneville. One from Ducks GM Pat Verbeek saying over the last 2 weeks, we conducted interviews with many outstanding coaching candidates while simultaneously conducting a comprehensive review of what took place while Joel was head coach of the Blackhawks in 2010. We spoke with dozens of individuals, including advocates for positive change in hockey and leadership of the NHL, with which last July officially cleared Joel to seek employment in the league. Our findings are consistent with Joel's account that he was not fully aware of the severity of what transpired in 2010. It is clear that Joel deeply regrets not following up with more questions at the time. He has demonstrated meaningful personal growth and accountability and has earned the opportunity to return to coaching, that opportunity coming with the Anaheim Ducks, Trans.
Yeah, I mean, look, we should all look very skeptically at that statement. The Jenner and Block report covers at length what the team knew, when they knew it, what Quenville's reaction was to it. The truth is that at the time he was focused on winning in the conference finals, and he put that ahead of safeguarding the young people on his team, one of whom was the victim of Brad Aldrich, mm-hmm. Who he then wrote a glowing review. It was unsigned, but he wrote a glowing review for Brad Aldrich on his way out of the organization. And of course, Brad Aldrich went on to harm others. I'm more than anything, I'm just saying that because if we're reading out that statement, I think we also have to go over the facts. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not going to pontificate about this or sort of go on about it one way or the other beyond saying that, that statement's a little rich. I think the Ducks have been laser focused on Quenville for 10 days. I've been talking about it for 2 weeks that the widespread expectation was that this was going to be Joel Quenville. There's some reporting out there from Emily Kaplan that Rick Tocchet and Jay Woodcroft were among the finalists for this job. But I truly think that this search was always pretty laser focused on Quenville. I think they probably did some due diligence, but they wanted this guy to be their bench boss. And that's been widely assumed to be how this would play out across the league and, you know, across like candidates involved in coaching searches for weeks now. Mm-hmm. So that's where we've landed. And I think we don't have to buy into what the organization's spinning in terms of his like redemption arc. I don't know that we should. I will say, I worked with Quenville for like 2 weeks down in Florida. No nonsense, really smart guy. In terms of my experiences, my limited experiences working with him and sort of seeing how he operates. I think he's a really good hockey coach. I don't know if he should be in a position of leadership. I'd certainly be very critical of the Canucks if they'd made this hire. But I do think the Ducks have got a massive upgrade behind the bench purely in hockey terms, although the duty of care terms is obviously a different story.
And we'll see. So we'll see what happens with Anaheim. It's going to be an interesting offseason for them in general, too. Like, how do you take that next step to being a playoff team if you're the Ducks and you have all these young pieces? We'll see how they grow and how they come into next season. I think Anaheim was clearly the most desirable location, at least in my opinion, for coaches around the league that were looking for a job, right? If you go through the possibilities, the current vacancies, it's obviously the Vancouver Canucks, the Philadelphia Flyers, the Pittsburgh Penguins, Seattle Kraken, Boston Bruins, and Chicago Blackhawks.
Mm-hmm.
Out of those teams, if you include Anaheim, I feel like the Ducks were clearly the ones that were not on a downswing and weren't so far away from an upswing that you're like, you know what, I don't even know if I'm going to be here by the time this rebuild is over. The Ducks felt like the most ideal landing spot. But of the teams remaining, including the Vancouver Canucks, of those six teams, what is the most desirable location for a potential coach looking for a job?
Yeah, I mean, I do think one of the things that we should take from the list of finalists, as reported by Emily Kaplan here, is that the Ducks were probably the top job among the remaining vacancies as viewed by head coaches. You know, I think if you watch the Ducks play this year, first of all, they improved year over year by like 20 points, despite mm-hmm. the fact that they were very poorly coached with very bad vibes and an awful lot that, you know, was easy to look at and criticize in terms of their overall play. You know, nonetheless, we're talking about a team that finished with 80 points, right? I mean, that's not a mile away from being in the playoffs, especially when you consider that like all of uniformly Leo Carlson and Mason McTavish, like all of their top guys, with the exception of defenseman Jackson Lacombe, took a step back this year and they still improved enormously year over year. I'm just going to look it up to make sure. They were a 59-point team in 2023-24 and an 80-point team this year, despite being poorly coached and having all of their young players fail to take a step forward. You know, that's exciting. Like, this is a team that should be, I think, you know, in that sort of like Habs Columbus Blue Jackets conversation beginning next year, probably a real team that we have to keep an eye on in terms of their ability to catch or surpass the Canucks as soon as next year. And certainly beyond that, I think you'd be picking them ahead of the Canucks, assuming that their sort of best players or their good young players stay on a positive trajectory here. So I think the Ducks were clearly number one in terms of the most desirable landing spots, other than obviously the New York Rangers, who also landed the top candidate almost immediately. So now we sort of go down to a rebuilding Boston Bruins team.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, so multiple reports this morning saying that, including from Rick Dollywell, saying the Bruins are big time interested in Rick Tocchet.
Yeah, Don Sweeney was part of Team Canada's brain trust at the Four Nations, so would have had an opportunity to see Tocchet work. Not a shock. He also, of course, while everyone remembers him as a Philadelphia Flyer, he also played for the Boston Bruins. He also played for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Like, all of the East Coast teams in the mix here employed Tocchet at one time or another, and then Ron Francis in Seattle was his teammate. Mm-hmm. So Tocchet would appear to have some easy ins in terms of that level of familiarity. So Boston's rebuilding, definitely interested in Tocchet, and that makes sense. You know, there's pre-built relationships there with obviously Lindholm and Zadorov. The Bruins, despite being sort of in a rebuilding situation, still have like Lindholm and McAvoy and Swayman. I mean, you go
Pasternak.
In and, but yeah, sure. But yeah. My point is you go in and install some Tocchet like defense
right.
into that group. They can mm-hmm. they can be, you know, they can at least be in the mix with a puncher's chance at making the playoffs, one would think, although it will be difficult given the composition of that roster. The Pittsburgh Penguins are an interesting one. That's another long term project. However, we know that Kyle Dubas, who's running Hockey Canada's world championship entry, like offered the job, the head coaching job of Team Canada at the Worlds to Tocchet. So clearly some regard. Dubas, like Sweeney, was also around the Canadian Four Nations team, so has had an opportunity to see Tocchet work. Tocchet's got a lot of built-in mutual respect and trust with Crosby, Malkin, and Letang, the leaders of that Penguins team. You know, like, in life, it's important to have a mission. You know, on the one hand, you know, choosing the place that gives you the best chance to win a cup matters. But also, wouldn't it be cool to show up to work every day being like, I have to run through a wall to try and figure out how to get Crosby another shot at this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't you think that would matter to you?
Yeah, I mean, to an extent, but also from like an objective point of view, are you like, I don't want to be the last coach Crosby has in Pittsburgh as everything falls apart?
Well, except like that's already happened. That's mm-hmm. already locked in. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like it can get lower than where they've been the last few years, the end of the Ron Hextall era. So, yeah, I see what you're saying. I just think that there's still opportunity there for things to be maybe a little bit better. So who else is Philadelphia, I think, is now the most attractive landing spot from the perspective of like team on the rise. Get a good goaltender and things look an awful lot different for that team next year, right? Like that's a situation with a lot of upside. The Kraken feel pretty listless.
Yeah. Like, if I was a coach, like, what's drawing you to Seattle? You dropped two more spots in the lottery.
Shane Wright is what's drawing me to Seattle. And, again, I've got a starting goaltender, starting caliber goaltender in Joey Decord. I've got a pretty good blue line. And I've got three centers with speed in Beniers, Shane Wright, and Chandler Stephenson. Plus some wingers, guys like Eberle and Kakko and stuff, who have some two-way value and some size. So,
but surely every other team on this list, you're like, well, there's a more compelling reason for me to go there.
I don't know if there is. Like, is there? You think there's a more compelling reason in Vancouver?
I would say so.
No.
Like, I would rather bet on being the guy that, you know, can coach Quinn Hughes, and hopefully he stays. Like, that's the bigger conversation, obviously. But I'd rather coach Quinn Hughes than Shane Wright. I'd rather try to be the guy that fixes Elias Pettersson than the guy that goes and gets the most out of Shane Wright.
I don't think so. Not with the way the coaches have talked about Elias Pettersson behind the scenes. You know what I mean? Like, that the Pettersson thing is probably viewed by external candidates as like a headache. Like, I'm going to be judged on this guy who only seemed to get along with Bruce Boudreau among the three coaches that have worked with him in his mm-hmm. career. Whether he gets it back on track after a season in which, you know, the organization has publicly called out his work rate and he beefed with a teammate.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, that's not appealing to me at all. That's difficult.
It's a chore.
That's a chore. And then the Quinn Hughes thing, I mean, that's uncertain. The Thatcher Demko thing, that's uncertain. Like, I look at Seattle, I'm like, okay, world-class rink, world-class facility. Like, the reason that Seattle is not compelling to me, if I'm a coach, is how much leash does Ron Francis really have? I'm his third coach.
Yeah.
You know, like, that would be the reason to not go. But I will say this about Tocchet taking over a loaded defense core, some speed and defensive mindedness up front, and a good goaltender. I think he can improve that team by 15 points day one. I just think that team is built to play Tocchet hockey and would benefit from doing so. Who else was on the list?
Chicago, and we mentioned Boston. Yeah, just Chicago.
Yeah, so Chicago, I don't know. I don't really believe in that project at all, but I also think the impact that a really good coach can have will be significant there. I think they need someone who's got enough weight and gravitas to stop the fearfulness with which that organization has handled Connor Bedard. I think they're so nervous about appealing to Bedard that they haven't helped him develop. Like, I think he needs some... I think he needs, you know, not to be like told how it is or like he needs, but he needs to be coached. He needs to be coached.
When he came in, it was like, you can do whatever you want. It's okay.
Our whole organization is built around appealing to you and showing you we're worth it. Right. And I think the truth is that organization needs to find some self-confidence and do the right things and bring in a coach with some weight who can help Bedard by sort of instilling just like a culture of accountability and the right things around him. Because I don't think they've had that over the past year and a half. So, you know, Chicago. Anyway, to me, the rankings of jobs remaining: number one, Philly. Number two, I think Boston. Number three, I think it's Pittsburgh. Number four, I think it's Seattle. Number five, I think it's Vancouver. And number six, or am I at seven? Anyway, the last one would be Chicago.
Chicago's last. We all know that.
Yeah.
And then the possibility, I guess, of LA, but that would quickly skyrocket to the top.
Yeah.
Also, so we get a text, 650-650, Marty the Red. What have you heard and what are your thoughts on Marco Sturm? So there were a couple reports, Irfan Ghaffar and Satyar Shah reporting that the Canucks have been doing phone and Zoom interviews this week, and we'll see who gets an in-person interview next week. Irf was the one bringing up Marco Sturm and saying that he believes Marco Sturm has been interviewed for the head coaching position. He's a former Canuck, played six games for the Canucks.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't work. He was signed off an injury, and he was clearly not the same player, and he was used to salary match along with Mikhail Samuelson in the David Booth trade. With the Florida Panthers, which obviously went poorly.
But he's been an assistant coach with the Kings for 4 years. The last 3 years, he's been the head coach of their AHL affiliate, the Ontario Reign.
Also a decorated Olympic coach. He coached that German team to, you know, they only narrowly lost in the gold medal game against the Russians in that odd Pyongyang tournament without NHL players in it. Canada won bronze, you'll recall, in that tournament. With which 650 host on the roster?
650 host?
Well, 650 personality, Landon Ferraro.
Landon Ferraro.
Sportsnet personality, anyway.
It's like, dude, we had a host at the Olympics? Yeah. That roster was bad.
It was Dan Riccio. Marco Sturm's highly regarded. Does he have the personality? Does he have the command presence for this market? I think that's a big question. To me, that's a big question. I think the truth is that there's like a element of community leadership that's kind of required to be a head coach in this market. There's an awful lot of media obligations. It's a big lift. And Marco Sturm, you know, does not have a big personality. I think he's a really good hockey coach. I think he'd be a strong candidate. I just worry about that side of it. If he were the pick for Vancouver, feels like this is a job you'd rather have his second NHL head coaching stint as opposed to his first. I think it would be a lot to ask a guy to go from Ontario to Vancouver in terms of those responsibilities and sort of being able to like fulfill the PR requirements of this job. And I don't mean that in terms of like actually just doing media every day. I mean, like, what does next season look like in terms of selling hope in this city, in terms of quelling the fires and skepticism around this team? Like, I think there's a level of swagger or just credibility that I think the next coach of the Canucks has to have. And if you've talked to Marco Sturm or seen him do interviews, you know, that would be a stretch, I think, for him to be effective as like a primary spokesperson for this team. Asking too much, I think, of him, even though I think he's a really, really good head coach and from the perspective, like a really good candidate given his AHL coaching track record. And I think generally speaking, you know, has an opportunity to be effective here or would have an opportunity to be effective here. I just don't think he's got that extra something that the Canucks need.
Fair enough. Sat also saying that Manny Malhotra could have options. So there's no guarantee he would accept a head coaching job in Vancouver. We'll see how it all shakes out as the Canucks continue their head coaching search. We're kind of running low on time, so we'll save.
Let's just quickly note that the Abbotsford Canucks beat the Coachella Valley Firebirds last night to take a 2-1 lead in their second round series. Jonathan Lekaramäki returned from a complication stemming from a dental surgery after a 3-game absence and had an assist on the Kirill Kudryavtsev game-winning goal. And Atu Ratu still not in that lineup at the moment, which is unfortunate, you know, given the progress that he made over the course of the season. Abbotsford, however, in control with 2 home games remaining in this series against Coachella.
Best of 5. So if they win tomorrow's game, game 4, if the Abbotsford Canucks win tomorrow, they move on that game tomorrow at 7 in Abbotsford. And before we hit the break, the one to watch brought to you by Delaney's OK Tire tonight in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I'm going to be watching Calvin Pickard. That's who I'm going with today.
I never watch goalies, man.
Yeah, well, I understand. Someone has to fill out the goalie requirements here.
Yeah.
I'm not even watching to see if he like does well. I'm just watching to see if he blows up. Because like, can you win 6 games in a row with Calvin Pickard, like just having fine games and not blowing up? Maybe he can. I don't know.
I think this team can, because it doesn't really matter. Like, you know, other teams get deflated if the, you know, if Pickard allows 3 bad goals in the first period, first 8 shots faced, Pickard gets blown up, 3 of them are like ugly goals against. The Oilers are just going to come back and win 5-3 anyway.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the thing about this Oilers team. Their top gear is just completely unhittable. And that's what I'm going to be watching tonight. Can Vegas find any answer to stem the bleeding, because they looked like they were unfit to share the ice with the Oilers in game 1? I don't expect that to continue over the course of this series. I have enough respect for Bruce Cassidy and for Vegas to assume that they're going to find some answers here. But I mean, they looked outclassed in game 1. So I'm looking to see just a response performance. Win or lose, I'm just looking to see Vegas like show that they can hang, because I didn't see that in game 1 of the series.
It's time to put on your Toyo tires. Whether you drive a car, light truck, or van, Toyo tires are designed to perform in all kinds of conditions. Visit Delaney's OK Tire in Langley and Aldergrove. We'll get into more playoff talk on the other side. It is Canucks talk. Josh Elliott-Wolf, Thomas Drance on Sportsnet 650.